Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. Again, my name is Chris Traficante. Today we'll be looking at the Celtics. We'll be looking at some of the things that have kind of shaken down over the last week and really what the landscape of this offseason is really setting up to be for the Celtics. I know we've talked a lot about players they should acquire, avenues that they should explore, players they should even look into drafting, and how the lottery went down. Tonight we're going to look more into some more concrete things, some things that have popped up over the last week. Or so, with the NBA offseason starting to hit its stride for teams not in the playoffs. Let's kick it off first with the fact that, you know, a lot of the names that we've been hearing around the Celtics for a long time, we've heard Kevin Durant, we've heard Jimmy Butler, you know, we've heard DeMarcus Cousins, we've heard Paul George, and all those guys are great players, and they're players that would really change the landscape of the Celtics moving forward for the next decade or so. But what I think that everyone is forgetting is that, yes, we're assuming that Danny Ainge can try to make the same kind of deal he made in 2007 when he acquired Kevin Garnett. The Kevin Garnett trade was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I hate to tell everybody that. Not many times you're going to get a GM willing to move a top-five player in the league for pennies on the dollar to bring into your team to make a championship contender right away. You know, the KG trade was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's not going to happen again, you know. When Russell Westbrook hits the market, or when a guy like, you know, Kawhi Leonard hits the market, you know, now we're talking about a trade, but are you ever going to get real value for that? Is a trade ever going to go down? But in this case, what we as fans need to understand is that any player the Celtics acquire this offseason is going to have flaws. There's no perfect player for them to acquire. If they signed Kevin Durant in free agency, that's pretty close to a perfect player. You know, he's made an NBA Finals. He's making a run right now at another NBA Finals. If the Celtics were to sign Kevin Durant outright, that's about as close to a perfect player as you're going to get. But in this case, you know, Jimmy Butler, day by day, continues to seem more like a pipe dream. Paul George, I think, from the beginning was a pipe dream. And DeMarcus Cousins, new coach in Sacramento, I just don't see that happening. So any player the Celtics are going to acquire this offseason is going to come with some baggage, is going to come with some flaws, is going to have holes in his game. And there's a reason that the team that is trading him is giving him up. You know, some of those guys, you know, you hear names right now. You know, we've heard, you know, I've heard Kevin Love a little bit over the last week. Greg Monroe from Milwaukee is another name I've heard a little bit about. You know, you hear guys like James Harden, who certainly has holes in his game. So, you know, and obviously Jahlil Okafor, who we've talked about. Any of those players, Kevin Love, I mean, he hasn't played in back-to-back fourth quarters for Cleveland in the conference finals. You know, two close games coming down to the wire in Toronto, Kevin Love hasn't been on the floor a single second in either fourth quarter. That is a red flag. That is a little bit alarming, you know. So there's obviously a hole there with the way that he plays defense, the way that he rebounds, the way that he competes in the fourth quarter. You know, you look at a guy like Greg Monroe, he's a back-to-the-basket center. He's an okay defender, not a great shot blocker, not very athletic. And there's a hole in his game there. You know, you look at the way the Celtics had to handle Jared Sullinger in the playoffs with the Hawks. They would probably have to do something very similar with Greg Monroe in a series like that. And Monroe would be much more valuable offensively to the Celtics than Sullinger was. So there's a hole in his game. You look at a guy like James Harden, it doesn't take a genius to see that Harden plays no defense. You know, you see it on social media where James Harden's looking the other way and his guy's backdoor cutting or he's just watching the ball go by him. James Harden is a bad defender. He's a bad defender, you know. So there's a huge hole in James Harden's game, and there's probably a reason why a lot of teammates or a lot of guys aren't lining up to go play in a city like Houston with James Harden already in place there. And then obviously that takes us to Jahlil Okafor, the name that we've heard the most about, and the rumor that we've kind of heard is the most likely to happen. But he's a guy who is a back-to-the-basket center. His defense is a real problem. You know, He doesn't move his feet. He can't switch out to guys on the perimeter. He seems lazy at times. His conditioning has been called into question. So, again, there's some serious flaws there. But this is the risk that the Celtics are going to have to take. They're not in a position to sit there and nitpick through, oh, well, this guy has this problem, this guy has this problem. They have to take on the talent and hope that they have the coach in place in Brad Stevens to make it work. You know, there's not many coaches that I would say are better equipped to handle guys and put them in the best position to succeed other than Brad Stevens. So the Celtics are going to have to take a chance at that. Is a guy like Kevin Love going to come to Boston and embrace being the number two or the 1A to Isaiah Thomas and play better and be a factor in the fourth quarter? Yeah, I would assume so. And I think a lot of that has to do with Brad Stevens putting him in the correct positions to succeed. You know, that's nothing against Tyronn Lue, but my guess would be Brad Stevens is a better basketball coach than Tyronn Lue. You know, and the same can be said for Jahlil Okafor. He's a 20-year-old big man. He's got a 7'6" wingspan. You can't teach that. He's a load inside. He's a terrific scorer. Those aren't traits that you can teach. You know, and Okafor has shown the capability to put the ball in the basket no matter what level he's played at. So that's another guy you got to take a risk on. You know, James Harden, an elite-level scorer, but he's a little bit redundant in terms of the fact that he needs the ball in his hand like Isaiah Thomas. But again, these are guys you have to take a chance on. They're big-time players when they're right. So, to me, we as fans need to understand that there's no perfect player to acquire in a trade. You know, very, very rarely does that happen where you hit a home run out of the park. And the only fear I have is that Danny Ainge is sitting there trying to hit a home run when he should be trying to hit a single or a double and just acquire a guy that's going to make his team significantly better. If you put Kevin Love on the Boston Celtics right now, this team is significantly better. Their biggest problem is they don't have a guy they can give the ball to, or they don't have guys to stretch the floor. Kevin Love solves both of those problems in one. He's a good low post scorer. He's a good passer. He can shoot the ball from the outside, clearly, as we've seen. And he's a good rebounder when he's ready to go. You know, and I think if you put him in a situation that he wants to be in, like in Boston, that just sounds like a winning recipe to me. So I think that we all need to wrap our head around the fact that anybody the Celtics acquire, there's going to be holes, and there's going to be a reason to question the move, but it's a risk that the Celtics have to take. They're in a good position to take. They have plenty of assets. All of these guys aren't going to be, you know, through the roof acquisitions. You know, if you were to trade for a guy like Paul George, you're giving up every single Brooklyn pick you have and probably two pieces, three pieces off your roster. You're blowing up your team for one guy. Does that make you significantly better? No, but the cap space does help a little bit. So you can argue that both ways. But I just wanted to get that off my chest, get that going to start the show today. One thing I did see, and I actually wrote about this on our website, Hoop Crew Rundown. Check us out there. I actually saw a couple of Lakers-based websites, Lakers-affiliated fan sites, and Green Street, which is a Celtics blog on WEEI.com. They had a report about the Lakers having some serious interest in drafting Dragan Bender at number 2. Now, this would be a shock to a lot of people. Everyone's called this a two-player draft with Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram supposed to go at the top. If Dragan Bender were to go number 2 and supplant Brandon Ingram in this situation, that'd be a huge win for the Celtics. The Celtics are sitting there at 3 getting a top 2 player in the draft at the number 3 spot without needing a top 2 pick. That sounds like a huge win to me if I'm a Celtics fan, if I'm a Celtics executive, if I'm putting my GM hat on, that sounds like a huge win for me. A couple of quotes that stood out to me. Mitch Kupchak, the GM of the Lakers, said point blank that he thinks his team needs a big. He didn't say, you know, we need help here. He said, we need a big. We are set in the backcourt. We need a big. Again, that quote could be found on Green Street, WEEI Celtics blog. It's an interesting thought. You know, I think it does make sense, but I think they would be a little bit crazy to take Bender over Ingram. You know, but if I'm looking at it from the perspective that it makes sense, let me break it down for you like this. Dragan Bender at number 2. Okay, the Lakers already have D'Angelo Russell. Here's to assuming they'll re-sign Jordan Clarkson. You know, you're reading everything about DeMar DeRozan wanting to go play in L.A. The Lakers have an interest in him. So if you're going to sign DeMar DeRozan, you already have Russell, you already have Clarkson. Where does Brandon Ingram fit into that mix? He doesn't. So from that standpoint, maybe Mitch Kupchak is foreshadowing that, yes, if that's our team, we need a big. You know, and Bender does make sense. He did average almost 5 assists a game in the World Championship under 18. Tournament that he played in, and new head coach out in L.A., Luke Walton. Obviously, we know he's coming from Golden State, where he's had Draymond Green, a big that can handle the ball, put it on the floor, and make plays for others. Dragan Bender would somewhat fit that mold. He's not a supreme athlete. And some have actually compared him to Draymond Green in that sense. But obviously, he's got a long way to go before we even get to that point. But to me, I think it does make sense for the Lakers to consider it. I'm not saying I would do it, because I think if you pass on Ingram and you're wrong, it's not a good look. But if, like I said, Bender's going to start working out for teams when the season in Israel ends. I know Danny Ainge was out there today, as a matter of fact, watching Dragon Bender play in a game in Israel. So Ainge is sitting front row watching him play. And his season's going to end in Israel pretty soon, and he's going to start coming stateside and start working out for some of these teams, and he's going to wow in workouts, just like Kristaps Porzingis wowed in workouts. They're athletic. They're long. They can shoot the ball. They can fly. You know, they make these above-the-rim type plays. They're going to wow, and GMs are going to fall in love with them. You know, and let's not forget, last year, Kupchak was the guy who took D'Angelo Russell in what was projected as a two-player draft in Karl Towns and Jahlil Okafor. So, you know, anything's possible, and if the report is true, if this isn't Kupchak posturing, then yes, I could see Dragon Bender going number two. I think it does make sense. And like I said, if they have plans to sign DeMar DeRozan, well, then I guess you really don't need Brandon Ingram. He's still young enough. He's your scorer. You still have Russell, Clarkson, Randall, and then we'll say Bender. And it does make sense to draft a big rather than throw money at a big in free agency like Whiteside or Biombo or Festus Ezeli, a big who has done it in spurts but isn't totally proven over an NBA season. Why throw money at someone like that when you can throw it at an all-star player like DeMar DeRozan? So I do see where it's coming from, and it does make some sense in a vacuum there. But to me, you know, you would be crazy to pass on Brandon Ingram at number two. But if he fell to three to the Celtics, like I said, dream scenario for Danny Ainge. I think it opens all kinds of avenues. You can trade the pick again. It's back on the table. Not that you can't trade it now, but it becomes more valuable. And to me, I think if you get the opportunity to pick Brandon Ingram at three, I think you keep him. I think you take that pick, you keep Brandon Ingram at three, and maybe that makes Jay Crowder a bit more expendable, especially if you're drafting a guy that high who's considered the future of your franchise. You probably want to turn the keys over sooner rather than later, so maybe Jay Crowder becomes a bit more expendable to explore into a bigger deal to bring another player in for the team. You know, one situation I outlined, you know, I know Cleveland loved Crowder, and maybe there's a way to just swap Crowder and Kevin Love, and maybe next year your lineup is Thomas, Avery Bradley, Brandon Ingram, Kevin Love, and you know, maybe you're able to sign a big and free agency that's out on the market. And, you know, that team sounds much more offensively potent. It sounds better suited for the future. And it just sounds like a team that moving forward is something the Celtics can build off of and build with. So, again, the report is the Lakers have interest in drafting Dragon Bender as number two. We'll see how that all pans out once workouts start and once these teams start getting Bender in the gym. Like I said, I do think there's the possibility of him starting to leapfrog some guys. I think Ben Simmons is going to go one. I think Brandon Ingram should probably go one. I think he's a better fit for Philly, but Philly's going to do what Philly does, and no one's going to stop him. So I do think Simmons is going to go one, and after that, I think it's becoming a little bit more wide open as the days go on, and I think Kupchak said that himself when he said there doesn't seem to be as big a gap between number two and number three as everyone thinks. So stay tuned on that one. That one could get interesting very, very quickly. For the Boston Celtics. And again, I hope it happens. I hope that that's a situation that the Celtics are rooting for, having Brandon Ingram fall. Maybe the phone lines are open. Maybe Danny Ainge is already working the phones. But again, we'll see the NBA draft just a little bit under a month away now. So we're getting pretty close to the start of the offseason with the Celtics and to see what this team is going to look like, not just next year, but moving forward as well. Again, like I said, Danny Ainge out in Israel today. He was in Croatia yesterday watching Ante Zizek play for Sabona, Team Sabona out there in Croatia. He's in Israel today watching Dragon Bender, so Danny Ainge making the rounds in Europe. He has 8 picks in this draft, so it wouldn't make sense to probably draft some stash guys from Europe. So Danny Ainge certainly doing his homework when it comes to that. That'll do it for this edition of the Hoop Corral. Again, my name is Chris Traficante. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for listening. We will talk soon. Keep your ears peeled for any more Celtics news that may hit the presses. A lot of it's going to start coming out hot and heavy. But until then, we will talk to you soon. Goodbye.